Turn in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the book of Hebrews, and we're seeing this letter, of course, written to these Jewish believers in the first century. Best we can tell as we study the book that they had trusted Christ, and then when persecution came, they went back under the Mosaic law. That's the problem. And the goal and the purpose of the letter was to show them Jesus is superior to anything, especially dealing with the whole law. They needed to trust God. They needed to go into maturity. They needed to grow as believers. That's the key. Well, as we move to chapter 11, we find the author wants these believers to be men and women of faith, to trust, be men and women of faith, to trust God, to obey Him. They had not trusted God, and so what we see in Hebrews chapter 11 is He gives this listing of men and women who in the past took God at His word and lived for Him and trusted Him and obeyed Him, and we call this, of course, the Hall of Fame of Faith, and He wants to remind them about this, and He wants them to look at this. Now, as we look tonight, we're looking at Abraham. We saw last week, and we're continuing, of course, on this, because we saw him. He was a man of faith, a man who left his home, going to a land that he didn't even know where he was going. And we're seeing this tonight. I call it obedience of faith, because last week we saw that he obeyed God, took God at His word, and acted. Well, tonight we call it dwelling by faith. We'll see some great things. The goal is we want to be men and women who obey God, who live by God, for God, to take God at His word and act upon it as we live on this earth. There's some great things, I think, in the book of Hebrews, especially as we go back to these Old Testament passages to see these actions. So there's some great things. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great night. Thank You for Your love to us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we never want to take it for granted, and we realize You are the sovereign God who works all things according to the counsel of Your will, and everything works in Your perfect plan and works together for good. And so, Lord, as we look at the book of Hebrews, and we continue to see men and women who lived by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, on and on, we see these people. And so, Lord, we just ask You that as we look, especially tonight at Abraham, and we call it dwelling by faith, how he lived on this earth and how he looked at the things of this earth. And, Lord, we want to do the same thing. We want to live in that same way. Lord, we thank You for eternal life being a gift. We thank You that Jesus Christ came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for our sins, was buried and rose again, and all who will believe in Him, trust in Him, will have eternal life. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of salvation. We thank You, Lord, for the Bible, especially Hebrews 11 as we're studying it tonight. So we ask You that You would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus told a parable about a rich man. He said that this rich man had so much that one day the man began to look around and he said, you know, I have so much and I've got a great harvest coming in. My barns are already full. I've got so much that I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to tear down my barns, my old barns. I'm going to build new ones and I'm just going to put all my stuff in it. I'm just going to have all that I need. It says that when he did that, God came to him and said, you fool, tonight or today, he said, your life is required. He's going to die. And the point was, you've accumulated all this stuff, but when it's over, he died, and there's all this stuff left, so to speak. The truth is, we come into this world with nothing, and we go out with nothing. How are we to live? Oftentimes, we go through life grabbing for everything that we can and trying to hold on to everything. And you know, we got to realize that as we go through this world, the things of this world are just temporal. They don't last. We're just passing through. This evening, we're going to see how Abraham lived life on this earth. He lived the life with the view of the future, the view to the eternal. He was not tied to this earth. Even though God said, this will be your land and your land of your descendants, it'll be yours and all of this, he never possessed the land. We saw that Abraham looked toward the future. In fact, he looked for an eternal city whose architect and builder was God. It's pretty powerful. Well, we're going to see that tonight. And how should we look at this life? How do we think about the things that, are we grabbing for all the gusto we can? Are we grabbing for everything we can? Or do we see things from the eternal perspective? Well, let's begin. As we begin, think about the study. We've been seeing the whole idea of faith. And when you got into Hebrews chapter 11, he shows this thing of faith. He's been showing that Jesus is better than anything. But when he gets to Hebrews 11, he wants to remind these believers that they need to go into maturity and they need to trust God. And so he goes back and shows all these men and women of faith who took God at his word. And that's what faith is. Living by faith is taking the truths and principles found in God's word and basing your life on that. And that's what we say living according to Scripture. We've seen already several acts of faith. In verse 3 is by faith, God spoke the creation into being. By faith, in verse 4, we saw a sacrifice as Abel brought a blood sacrifice to God. In verse 5, by faith, it was the walk of faith as Enoch walked with God. Verse 6, by faith, Noah, with the work of faith as he built the ark and was warned by God and saved his family. And then last time, we saw obedience of faith that began really at verse 8, Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going to a place which he was received for an inheritance, and he went out, not even knowing where he was going. So as we continue this evening, we're going to continue looking at Abraham. It's going to take us a couple of, tonight, we talked last week, and then tonight, we're looking at verses 8, 9, and 10. And primarily, we're going to look at the details of 9 and 10, because what we want to see is how Abraham looked at life. Last time, we called it obedience of faith, because he obeyed God when God told him to do something. Tonight, we call it dwelling by faith, because we're going to see, how did he live on this earth? How did he look at life? How did he see things? It's pretty powerful. Let's look again at, we'll just look in verse 8, just get started. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not even knowing where he was going. By faith, he is this man. We call him Abraham. His name means high father, father of many nations. God gave him a promise. We won't take the time right now to turn, but in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, he was living in a place called Ur of Chaldees, which is modern-day Iraq, and he was living at the southern part of this where the Tigris-Euphrates River came together, and God told him to leave that place and go to a land, first of all, that he would show him. And then later when he gets to that place, he talks about it being his and his descendants forever and all that. So Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, went north, not south. You'd think he'd go south since he was going to Jerusalem or to Israel, but he didn't. He went north to a place called Haran where his father died. And when his father died, his father's name was Terah. He left and then came to what we call the Promised Land. And in Genesis chapter 12, God says to him, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And Abraham, in you, all the nations of the world be blessed. So he got some great promises by God. Now, what I want you to remember is this land would be his and his descendants forever. That's what he said. It'll be your land. In fact, there's a time that God takes Abraham and says, go outside. And he walks outside. He says, it was at night. And he said, look at the stars. See them? Yeah. He said, if you can count them, that's how many children you're going to have. That's how many offspring you're going to have coming out of you. And then he told him in another time to go and look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. He said, okay. He said, see that? That's your land. Where every sole of your foot touches, that is your land. So God made a great promise to him. We call it obedience of faith because he left Ur of the Chaldees and he did not know where he was going. Verse 8 again says, he went out to receive the inheritance not knowing where he was going. You can almost see Sarai. That was her name at that time. Sarai means what? You may know. It means nagger. Yeah, you know. You're not packing right, Abraham. Everything is it's a mess, you know. That's nagger. Anyway, God's going to change her name to Sarah, which means princess, is right. And Abram, his name meant high father, big daddy, and God's going to change his name to Abraham, father of many nations. And so they got ready to leave, and you can almost see Abraham saying, we've got to go. God wants us to go to a land that he's going to show us. And she could say to him, what does it look like? And he goes, I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know. But he trusted God, and there are times in our lives that we don't know. And that's what we talked about last week when we said, how do you look at life? Do you say to God, tell me what you have for me, and I'll decide if I'm going to do it? Or do you say, God, I'll do whatever you have for me? And that's how we should look at life. And that's why last week we talked about Romans 12, where we offer our lives as living sacrifices. And that's the key. Every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior should say to God, God, I want my life to count for you. I give it to you. Now, we're not talking salvation. Remember, I said these are those who have trusted Christ as Savior. That's a gift. It cost us absolutely nothing. God gives us eternal life as a gift. We're talking about living for Jesus Christ. And what we should do in the same way that Abraham said, I'm going, I don't even know where I'm going. We're saying, I live for you, Jesus, and I don't even know what you have for me. This doesn't matter. And so he did that. Now, I want you to see that's obedience of faith, but look at verses 9 and 10 because we're going to see how he lived, and I call this dwelling by faith. That's just one way to look at it. Look at verse 9. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city who has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, verse 9 tells us two things about how he lived. He lived as a stranger, and he dwelled in tents. Those two things. Now, and they both imply that he looked toward the eternal, because he didn't look at that land as his possession that he was going to grab a hold to and hold to right now. And he also lived in tents, which were as was a temporary dwelling place. He didn't build him a house. Notice what it says again. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. Now, the first thing I want you to see, he lived as a stranger. That's what the word alien means. It means that it was like he was a foreigner passing through. In fact, it goes on to say he lived as an alien in the land of promise as in a foreign land. Now, the truth is, if you came to Abraham when he lived, he came to a place called the Oaks of Mamre. That's where he stopped first. And he lived there for a while, and then he moved over to a place called Bethel, and he moved back to Shiloh. He moved to these different places. But when it came time that his wife died, he had to have a place to bury her. And I don't know if you've ever studied that passage, and we're not going to be able to study it tonight, but they ripped him off. I mean, they treated Abraham, they realized that Abraham was a stranger. That's how they called it. And they ripped him off. And when they got ready to buy, he wanted to get a little piece of property to bury his wife. And of course, at the Oaks of Mamre, in this cave, the cave of Machpelah, that's what he wanted to buy. The guy said, "Oh, I can't sell that little part to you. I have to sell you this little section." And when he gives the idea of how big it was, and then the price, you know, what the people who have studied all that says, that the price was way out of sight. It would be like going to a little house somewhere that's worth $40,000 and saying, "I'd like to buy that." And I'd say, "Oh, yeah, if you want to buy it, oh, I'd just love to give it to you, $250,000. And you know what Abraham said? "I'll pay it right here." Now, he lived as a stranger. If you'd come to Abraham and said, "Abraham, whose land is all this?" He'd say, "It's mine. It's mine and my descendants." "Well, what part do you own right now?" He went, "Nothing." And then later on, they'd say, "What part do you own?" He said, "See that little cave right over there where I have my wife buried? That's the part I own. But I thought you said this was your land." "Yeah, it is. It's all my land." "Who gave it to you?" "God did." "Why don't you possess it?" He said, "I'm a stranger. I'm just passing through. I don't have to grab a hold of this land to know that it's mine, because God said it's mine and my descendants." He looked at life not that you've got to have all these things. Now, was Abraham a wealthy man? The answer is yeah. As far as possessions, God blessed him a lot. But he looked at life as if I'm just passing through. Notice what it says. By faith, he lived as an alien, a foreigner, in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. The land that belonged to him, we call it the promised land. You know, before I ever became a Christian, before I ever studied the Bible, before I ever read anything, I'd always heard the children of Israel in the promised land. And I always thought it was a little bunch of little kids trying to go to some land, promised land. But when I realized it's the nation of Israel and the land that God promised them, it all started with Abraham. God said, "This is the promised land." Or we'd say it this way, "This is the land I promised you." And it says that he lived as an alien, as a stranger, as if it was a foreign land. It was not a foreign land. It was his land. But he didn't cling to that thing. In fact, he wandered around. That was the key. Notice what it says. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents. A tent, the Greek word for tent means temporary dwelling place. It's the same word as tabernacle. A tabernacle is a temporary dwelling place. In the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and they went to Mount Sinai and God told them to build this sacrificial system, what did they build? They built the tabernacle, which is a temporary place, because they moved it around the whole time, because everywhere the glory of God would move, they would move the tent around. That's why when David later on looked out of his window in his big palace and he looked out and imagined he saw the tent out there and he thought, "You know, I'm dwelling in a big house. God's dwelling in a tent. I think we need to get him a big tent. I think we need to get him something permanent. And, of course, God said later, it's not time for a permanent thing. You won't build it, David. Your son will build the permanent building, which is just, he'd come make his presence known. But the idea is that Abraham lived in a temporary place. He saw his time on this earth as temporary. Never built a walled home. Never built anything permanent. Notice what the verse says. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Now, he mentions them. He's not even going to talk about them till we get some other verses later on. But who was Isaac? Abraham's son. And who was Jacob? Isaac's son. He says he lived in tents just as his son lived in tents and his grandson. Do you realize Abraham and Isaac and Jacob never possessed the land? Let me ask you a question. When was the first time they actually possessed the land? Well, they have, but they have it sometime, but not the whole thing. They've never possessed totally the land that God promised Abraham in Genesis 13 when he gave the dimensions. Never have. But when did they, for the first time, actually possess the land? Exactly. After they came back, after the Exodus, they came back. Joshua led them in, and they conquered the land. That's the first time they actually were able to say, we're going to divide it up among the tribes. See, Abraham lived as a stranger and as an alien. And when he got ready to bury his daddy, he had to buy a little bitty piece of property. He could have said, this all belongs to me. But, they would have said to him, yeah, right. But he did. And the same way with Isaac. And the same way with Jacob. He went through life. They went through life never grabbing a hold of this world. He was a wealthy man. It's so easy when you have some things to want more and more. I'll never forget J. Vernon McGee told a story of that when he was in Southern California and he was a pastor at the Church of the Open Door in Pasadena, that there was a man in his church that started visiting and eventually became part of the church. But he said one time this man said, Dr. McGee, I'd like for you to come over to my house and eat supper with me. And Dr. McGee said, might I say, I will be glad to. And so he went to his house, but boy, when he pulled up to this man's house, J. Vernon McGee said, I have never seen a house this big in my life. And he walked to the front door, and there's giant columns and everything, and the man met him at the door, and he said, you've got to see my house. And he was taking him through, and swimming pool over here and this here, and he took him to three or four big old, it was just a mansion. And the guy said, what do you think of my house, J. Vernon? And J. Vernon McGee said, I don't think I'd want to live here because I don't think I'd ever want to go to heaven. If I live in something this nice, I don't want to go to heaven. And the idea is that Abraham never looked at all this stuff that he had, this land that God had promised him. He never said, I got to have all this. What he was looking for was the future. He was looking for what God had promised him. And you'd say, what exactly did God promise him? Notice what it says. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. They were fellow heirs of the same promise. They had the same promise as Abraham. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for the city that God built. What city was that? New Jerusalem. It wasn't Salem. He knew about Salem. In fact, there was a king priest of Salem named who? Melchizedek. So he wasn't talking about Salem. Salem was a city. That wasn't the city he was looking for. He was looking for a city that God was the designer of and God was going to build. He said, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. He just didn't create. He says, God has something better. And as J. Vernon McGee said, I don't want a house that good on earth because I might not want anything in heaven. I might not want to leave. We should look forward to what God has for us. Now, let me say this to you. The younger you are, more likely the less that you're looking forward to what God has. Because you say, I still got a lot of living to do. But the older you get, you're wearing out, you realize there's so much better that God has for you. And you can hardly wait for it. What are we looking for? All this stuff, it's temporary. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we won't even have these chairs. There'll be other chairs. All the stuff is going to be gone. All the stuff that we think is so important is going to be gone. I remember when I went to Faith Covenant Church and Ken Shepherd was a pastor there, and I went there as the youth pastor one summer while I was at Dallas Seminary, and they decided to have this big garage sale to raise some money for a ski trip for the youth. And there was this stuff. I mean, you know how what it looks like at a garage sale. And I remember Ken looked over at me and said, you know, at one time somebody really wanted that stuff. And that's the way it is. At some time we really want some of this stuff and it wears out. He said he was looking for the city which has foundations, which is something permanent, which is something that's not going to move. It's not going to move. But look at this, whose architect, whose designer, and whose builder is God. When are we going to see this city? Because you know what? Abraham went through his whole life, and so did Isaac, and so did Jacob, and they never saw that city. They never possessed the land that God said was their land. They never grabbed a hold of anything permanent while they went through this life. And I think they're a picture of how we're to live. There's nothing wrong with possessions. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things. But it is not where we live. We're just passing through. And the whole purpose that we are here is to touch lives for Jesus Christ. You've heard me say this over and over. You will never, ever be satisfied with things. You will be satisfied with relationships. Your relationship with God and your relationship with others. When you are taking your life and you are serving the living God by touching other lives for Christ, you will have a life that will be totally satisfied and you will be growing to become like Christ. If you turn it around and you put it on things rather than people, you will never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. You'll always want the next thing. Because things can't satisfy. That's not possible. And I think Abraham, I think he's teaching us that, listen, even though God said this is your land and all of this, he said, I'm looking for the eternal, not the temporal. Now, when is the city coming? You remember that Jesus on the last night with his men in the upper room discourse, verses chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John. In chapter 13, he gets with his men and they start the thing and he does the wash some feet and things. But in 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. If it wasn't that way, I would have told you. And when I get it prepared, I'm going to come back and get you. And then where I am, you will be. And we say to ourselves, where is this place that he's going to prepare? And what's it going to be like? And what many rooms? You know, people have always said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Well, that's not really the word. The word means dwelling places. In my Father's house, there are many places to live. I want you to just turn with me to Revelation 21, just for a second. I want you to see this. I want you to see the city whose architect and builder is God, who has a foundation that will never be moved. Look at it. Revelation chapter 21. I want you to look at verses 1, 2, and 3. This is after the thousand-year reign of Christ. This is after the great white throne judgment in which unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire. And this is heading into what we call the eternal state and the eternal kingdom. Watch what we find. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There was no longer any sea. And I saw, look, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard this loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. That's the city. You know what? Abraham still hadn't got that city. Neither is Isaac or Jacob, and neither of any of us. And you can go back to Hebrews if you want to, Hebrews 11. But if any of us are seeking to find our fulfillment on this earth and in these things, we'll always be disappointed. We've got to dwell by faith, living with the eternal view and not the temporal view. And notice again in verse chapter 11, verse 10, he says, for he was looking ahead, he was pressing onward, you might even say, for the city which has foundations, which is permanent, whose architect and builder is God. I know some of the ladies have been doing a study with Beth Moore, and just so happens she's dealing with the book of Revelation, and I think this last lesson dealt with the city, didn't it not? And it had the foundations, and they're made out of what? All these different stones, you know, it's immovable. It's a foundation. It's a permanent city. One of these days, we will live in the permanent city, the New Jerusalem. Abraham lived on earth with a temporal view of this world, and an eternal view of the city of God. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is where? In heaven, not on this earth, where we wait for the Lord to return and get us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 talks about that God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then it ends by saying, therefore we are what? Anybody know? Ambassadors for Christ. When I think of an ambassador, I always think of somebody that has some kind of jacket on, you know, with some kind of emblem on it. And an ambassador is like the ambassador to France. So we say, I live in the United States. I'm from the United States, but I'm going to go to France and I'm going to live there. It's, of course, it's a temporary thing. And I'm going to represent the United States in France because I'm an ambassador. Well, our citizenship is where? In heaven. And we don't live in heaven right now. We live temporarily where? Here. And we don't represent ourselves. We represent God in Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech through us. And so we're ambassadors. So we leave the glories of heaven in a sense. He's put us on this earth and he says, you're just passing through. This is all temporary. Don't grab for all this stuff. Represent me. Use your life to touch lives for me. And the challenge to every one of us in this room is, let's don't get so tied up with all the stuff here. There's nothing wrong with things. Use them and enjoy them. But remember, you can't find your joy from things. You find your joy from your relationships with God, your relationship with God and with others. And you're an ambassador for Christ. You're just passing through. So don't grab for all this stuff. What does it profit a person to gain the entire world and forfeit his... So now, when it's not saying, what does it profit a person to have all the world and then go to hell? That's not what it's saying. To forfeit your soul in the Greek, the way it's written in the New Testament, means to forfeit your life. To grab all of this world and then die, and what do you have in an eternal way? Nothing, because you didn't live for God, you lived for yourself, and you have nothing. That's why it says the last will be first and the first will be last. It's powerful. We're ambassadors for Christ. I think one of my favorite passages that helps me think about this is in 1 Timothy. And if you want to turn there, you can. If you don't, you just listen. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it says this. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, and with these we should be content. Why are we grabbing for all the things of this world when it's only temporary anyway? We can't take anything with us. We didn't have a thing when we came into this world. They had to put something on us. And when we're going out, guess what? They had to put something on us just to cover us up as we go out. But we don't have anything. Take nothing in, take nothing out. It's the grace of God all the way. Everything we have is just from Him as we pass through. So don't get caught up with the things of this world. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 says, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, which is permanent, whose architect and builder is God. What are we looking for? The things of this world or the eternal things of God? As disciples of Jesus Christ, as ambassadors for Christ, our citizenship is not here. It's there. We're just passing through. Let's use our lives for the glory of God. What have we seen? By faith, dwelling. Abraham lived as a stranger, intense, temporary, because he was looking for the city whose builder and designer is God. Let me give you some applications to think about. I think we've got them. If we can throw them up on the screen there. The first application is, may we not be tied to this world. I mean, it's okay. Let me tell you. Let me say it. I'm not saying don't have things. It's okay to have things. It's okay to use things. It's okay to enjoy things. In fact, the Bible says in certain places that everything that we have from God is to be used and enjoyed. I mean, even Ecclesiastes talks about enjoy the things. But they're just temporal, and we're just passing through. And this is not what we ought to grab to and hold on to. We need the eternal view of life, realizing that there's going to be something later on. There's a city God is building for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and when He gets it ready, He'll come back and get us, and we'll be with Him forever. Enjoy our time here, but don't be tied to the things of this world. They will make you miserable because they can't satisfy. The second thing, may we look forward to the return of our Savior. Wow. Coming in the clouds to take us out. He's going to come not only then, but a second time to this earth, and we're going to rule and reign with Him forever. And then in the eternal state, there'll be the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city coming down, and He has made the foundations. If you're looking for something to hold on to, say, I'm looking forward to being with Christ in the eternal city, the eternal Jerusalem, the holy city. Wow. Third thing. May we fulfill our role as ambassadors. That's what we are. We're ambassadors. This is not our home. We're just passing through. We represent Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We need to tell people the good news, because there's a whole bunch of people that don't know. I talked to a guy today, and he was talking about there's a whole bunch of people that don't know. And then I had another person come in to see me, and they were talking about how many people don't understand the grace message of salvation. It is amazing how many people don't get it. It is by grace we are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were begging through us. We want people to be reconciled to God. So let's be ambassadors for Christ, fulfill that role. May we live by faith, dwelling on this earth, looking at the earth temporally. Being ambassadors for Christ as we look for the holy city, we see things from the eternal perspective as we look for the city whose designer and builder is God. There's some great things coming for us. Let's pray, and then we'll open up. We've got just a few minutes for questions, and then we'll break for prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this passage and the truth as we look at Abraham, who was a man who dwelled by faith in a sense. It was that temporary. He wasn't looking at this world. He didn't grab a hold of all that. In fact, he lived as a stranger in his own land. He lived in a tent, not even in a permanent house, because he was looking for the place that you were going to build. And Lord, we look the same way. Lord, we don't want to be tied to this world. Thank you for the things you've given us. We're the richest people in the world. You've given us more than everybody else. Even the poor people in our country have more than everybody else in the rest of the world. You've given us so much. And yet, Lord, we do not want to be tied to this. We just want to thank you and use it for your glory. May we look forward to one day when our Savior Jesus Christ comes, and we'll be with him, and we'll be in that holy city and live forever with him. Lord, while we are here, may we be your ambassadors. May we represent our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the passages from Hebrews and then from back in Genesis, and how all this ties together with the life of Abraham. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.